Okay, good morning. We were on Kuf Vav Amud Bet, 106b. Let's start again at the Mishnah. Again, we're dealing with the laws of a choker. A choker is a person who leases a field. It's a 10-year lease, typically. He's paying a certain amount of produce regardless of how much he gets. In other words, he's going to give 10 tzah of produce every year to the owner of the field. So the Mishnah says, "Makabel sadeh mechaver ba'asara kur chitim l'shana," a person who leased a field from his friend with the obligation of paying 10 kur of wheat every year, alaksa, in 1 year, the field was damaged, windswept, lots of weeds that year, little bit, not much rain. The wheat that grew is very inferior. It's very poor quality. So he can give 10 kur of very poor quality wheat to the landlord. Let's say the wheat of the field is very good wheat. He can't tell him, or any lokech min hashuk, I'm going to go buy from the market things that aren't as good as what your field produced. He has to give from the field. So the Gemara is addressing this point that a leaser, someone who leases, a leaseholder of a field for a certain amount of produce, if unfortunately that field produced bad produce, he can give that bad produce. A story, there was a man, the Kabil Aralas Fasta. He leased a field, and the deal was he was going to grow in it this vegetable aspasta, which is really not for human consumption. Aspasta shachas, that's something which only animals eat. And he was going to pay bikure desari, he's going to pay with kurs of barley. So how's he going to get the barley if his vegetable, if his field is growing aspasta? He's going to get the barley, he's going to have to buy the barley. That was the original deal. Avda aspasta. So the field produced aspasta. So what he did was, he cut it down early. And after the aspasta was just beginning, he already took it down. He replowed the field. The zara sari, and then he planted the field with barley. But lakwani sari, so these barleys didn't come out very good. They were very inferior. So sholcha Rav Chaviva misura de pras l'kami de Ravina. So Rav Chaviva from Surah of Pras sent this question to Ravina. Ki ay gav namai, what's the halacha now? Ki laksa no se lo mitocha dami. Is it like the Mishnah that when a person who leased the field, the produce in the field is damaged, he can give that damaged produce? Although maybe here not, because he wasn't supposed to be producing this produce from the field. He was supposed to be getting out of the field aspasta and buying the produce with which he was going to pay. So he said, Amale mi dami, how is it comparable to our Mishnah? In the Mishnah, Hasam lo avda arish lichusa damara. There, the land didn't do the job she was supposed to do. The land was supposed to produce high-quality grain. It didn't, okay? But here, the land did what it was supposed to do. The land was supposed to produce aspasta. Had he left the aspasta there, it would have been fine. He took the aspasta out early and he replanted it with barley. So even though it's inferior barley from the land, that's not the fault of the landlord. The landlord's land did what he was supposed to do with the land. He provided land for aspasta. Aspasta was growing well. So therefore the tenant still needs to produce good barley. He has to go out and buy the barley to pay the rent that he's due to the landlord. Now another story where it further limits this law of the Mishnah, that if the produce spoils, the tenant can deliver spoiled produce. Now, there was a man, Kabul Pardes Mechavre, he got an orchard, a vineyard from his friend, Be'eser Dani Chamra. And what was the rent that he was going to have to pay? 10 barrels of wine. So he got in fact barrels of wine from the vineyard, but Takav Hahu Chamra. After it came off of the vineyard, the wine spoiled and became vinegar. So Rav Kahana thought, this is the Mishnah, that if there was a deal to rent a field and produce a certain amount of material and to pay with a certain amount of produce, if the produce spoils, so you pay spoiled produce. So I'm aware of Rashi. Rashi said, you're not understanding the Mishnah correctly. Midami, how's it comparable? Hasam la'avdarish lichusa. In the case of the Mishnah, I rented a field, and the field didn't do what it was supposed to do. So I can pay with the inferior stuff. You, the owner of the field, gave me a field that for whatever your reason, it's not your fault, but for whatever God's reasons are, your field didn't do what it was supposed to do. So I can pay you with that which isn't so good. But here, the field did its job. It produced good wine. It's after the wine was produced, the wine spoiled. That's not the field's doing anymore. So you shouldn't lose out. And therefore, I should pay.
So it's the lack of expertise of the farmer that basically made the grapes sour. That's what's
the grapes didn't go sour. It's the wine that went sour.
So my point is that the processing from grapes to wine is what turned it sour.
Correct.
And so he's saying, it's basically only because there was a default with the grapes, there was a default in the processing.
And you can't blame the owner of the field for what happened later. The motor of Ashi, however, of Ashi would agree, be in with the kadam. Let's say I lease the field to pay with wine, but the grapes that came out of this field are filled with worms. Or sada shalaksa bom reha. Or I lease the field to pay with stalks, and when the stalks of wheat were put out in the field to dry, they got ruined in the field. So then, it's still the job of the field. So the job of the field didn't do its job. So then he should get inferior wheat, inferior wine. Yeah.
Right. But before, and we read it on a different matter, if the field didn't perform well, then they were checking if it was across the board or if
right.
it was a specific field.
That's right.
If that specific field, it's your bad mazel, then it's your issue.
Correct.
Why aren't they sharing by the same logic?
Exactly.
The logic is different. It's applied differently. Because before it was... The guy who's working the field, it's on your
right.
fault.
So we're saying now that it's both, because these are damages from the field. It's both of them. This is both. There, it was when he did his job, and there was an ones, something out of his control happened, but if it's just on him, he still needs to pay the set amount that he had promised.
And then it's considered his bad mazal.
His bad mazal, and he needs to pay the amount. That's right.
Is that a mazal or is it a mistake that
earlier we said was mazal. His mazal caused it. Only his field was damaged and the other fields not.
Yeah, but if it's an act of Hashem or, we didn't have enough rain or whatever.
Right.
All right, so he didn't have enough produce to give it to the landlord. Is that understood?
Right.
And the landlord should give him a break because of act of God.
No, he pays with the bad stuff. He promised to give the landlord a certain amount. Tells the landlord, "This, I'm giving you your amount, but it came out of this field. I'm giving you this stuff. It's bad stuff. It's what your field produced."
Which is not supposed to.
It is. He's saying, "I'm paying you for that's the deal. I'm paying you from your field." Next Mishnah, Hamakabel Sadame Chaveiro Lazara Saorim. Now, we've mentioned earlier that wheat is very hard on fields. It pulls a lot of the nutrients out of the ground. So if I get a field, let's say, to pay a certain set amount every year, and I get the field, and the deal was that I was going to plant barley. So lo yizra enachitim, I can't now turn around and plant wheat, because wheat harms the field more. And he says, hey, I didn't want you to take so much out of the field. But chitim, if I got the field to plant wheat, so yizra enasorim, then I can plant it barley, because I'm doing him a favor. Instead of working the field so hard, it's working the field less. Reb Shimon Gamliel oser. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, even if I got the field for wheat, I can't plant it barley. Barley is easier on the field than wheat. I can't. Tvua, if I got the field to plant it wheat, lo yizra ena kitnis, I can't plant it instead with beans, with lentils. Kitnis, if I got it to plant it beans, so that is hard on the field. Yizra ena tvua, then certainly I can plant it wheat, which is not as hard on the field. And again, Reb Shimon Gamliel oser, even though I'm trying to do it I'm trying to do something which is seemingly better for the landowner, Reb Shimon Gamliel prohibits. Reb Chisda said, my time with Reb Shimon Gamliel. What's the reasoning of Reb Shimon Gamliel? I mean, after all, the tenant wants to help out the landlord and do for him something which is even better for him. So the Gemara suggests, maybe it's the Ksiv, maybe it's based on the Pasuk. She'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla, the remnant of Israel will not do any injustice, lo yidabru chazav, and they won't speak falsehood. Lo yimatzei b'fihem lashon tarnis, and in their mouth there won't be found any deceptive language. So since he said he was going to do wheat, he can't switch to barley, even though barley is objectively better for the landlord. That's the view of Reb Shimon Gamliel. So Gemara challenges this. Meisvei, how could you say Reb Shimon Gamliel said this? We have a braisa, magvas purim lepurim. Money raised to give to the poor for purim has to be given to the poor on purim. And when it comes to purim, anyone who asks, we give. We're not so precise, and we don't say, oh, just enough for the meal. We give even a bit more. However, the poor man is not allowed to use it for other expenses. He has to use it for Purim. He can't use it, let's say, for a shoelace. Unless when the poor man got the money, or when the collector solicited the money, he made a condition in front of everybody of the city. You know, we may not use it for Purim. It may be used for other purposes. That's the view of Rabbi Yaakov. Who's quoting Rabbi Meir. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says it's okay. He's lenient. In other words, he says even without having made conditions, money you raise for Purim you can give for other causes, and a poor man who got money for the Purim meal can use it for other causes. So, one second, I thought Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the person who says that the word is so sacred that if you gave your word that you're going to plant barley, I'm sorry, wheat, you can't even turn around to plant barley, which is better for the landlord. So, Rabbi is like this. The reasoning of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is not that the word can't be changed, but time of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, kidamar, it's like the lesson of our teacher, our master, Rabba, as Rashi points out, Rabbi Bar Nachmeni was both the Rosh Yeshiva of Abaye and his surrogate father. He had raised him, his foster father, to Amar Mar, because our master, Rabbi Nachmani, said like this, a lesson in agriculture. We're going to have a whole bunch of agricultural lessons in today's daf. If you want to ruin your land, you want your land not to be able to produce anything, to become a wasteful field, a field that's fallow, every year change what you do with it. Lizrei shata chiti, the first year planted wheat. The shata sari, then the next year planted barley. Shata shesi, one year planted with vertical lines. The shasa erev, and then the next year planted in horizontal lines. If you keep changing what you're doing with the field, before you know it, the field will go bad. So maybe that's what's going on here. Why did Reb Shimon Gamliel say that if I, the tenant, and the landlord had agreed that I would plant wheat, I can't shift to plant barley, because I have to be afraid of the following. Even though in theory, barley is better for him than wheat, because barley doesn't take as much out of the field, I have to fear that maybe the reason why he told me and we agreed that I should be planting wheat is because last year he planted wheat. And if I switch on him and plant barley, I'm actually ruining his field. And I have no right to take that risk of ruining his field, especially when we agreed that I would be planting wheat. That's what Reb Shimon Gamliel says, I have to plant wheat. It's not that my word is so sacred, I said wheat, it has to be wheat, it can't be barley. It's because barley sometimes is not less taxing on the field. It's actually the most taxing on the field, because if you have barley after wheat, it can ruin the field entirely.
Rabbi, why isn't the argument that that he's the owner? The owner dictates what is planted. The sharecropper, why does the sharecropper have almost like an equal, even maybe even a greater?
It's a very interesting point. Maybe we're seeing here that as a sharecropper or a tenant is not fully the owner, and he has to be concerned about how it will impact the boss. That's
right,
an interesting idea.
No, but that's my point is that obviously the owner, you would say, rightfully has the power to dictate what gets planted in the in
to say that
field.
You have to do the wheat, right, and not the barley.
So how come the sugar?
Well, because maybe if it's for his benefit. Normally we have a rule that I can over-deliver, and if I promised you inferior quality meat, I can give you better quality meat. That's always over-delivering. So well, here the tenant over-delivers. Why not? It's usually the halacha, we saw that earlier. You can always over-deliver. So then the Gemara says, but now this agricultural rule of Elo Amar, and this is only true, El Delo Karev Vitani, that if 1 year you planted wheat, and then the next year you plant barley, and you didn't plow twice. But if in between you plowed, and then again you plowed a second time, and then you planted the barley, so you completely uprooted the wheat, then the barley doesn't ruin the field. Of a car of a tani less lumba, if you would plow, and then plow a second time, and then plant the barley, even though it's coming after the wheat, it won't ruin the field. Yeah, right. Question.
Doesn't the owner of the field have the right, though, regardless, because you talk about that, you know, he's taking a lie, he's saying, you know, he promised to do
right.
One thing or another, but if the owner, if he goes to the owner and says, listen, I changed this, and I'm going to, instead of planting wheat, I'm going to barley, I'm going to, you know, wheat.
And the owner says yes? If the owner says yes, for sure. Well, if he says yes, of course. But here we talk, let's say he's not around, you can't ask him. So that's where our discussions are. The Mishnah then said that if the agreement was that I leased the land to plant tavua, to plant wheat, lo yizra'ena kitnis, I shouldn't plant it lentils with beans. So now we have a whole series of lessons from Rav Yehuda to Ravin about agriculture. Masni le Rav Yehuda le Ravin. Rav Yehuda taught Ravin that actually, if the agreement was to plant tvua, to plant wheat, Yisrael and a kitnis, he is allowed to plant instead lentils. Amalesi, Ravin said to Rav Yehuda, Vanantam, we learned in the Mishnah the opposite. Tvua, if the agreement was to plant wheat, lo Yisrael and a kitnis, he shouldn't plant it lentils. Amalei lo kashya. So Rav Yehuda answered, it's not a question. Halan valuhu, there's a difference between us. And then there's the difference between the people in Bavel and the people in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a land of mountains. Since it's a land of mountains, we're worried about the land being ruined. And instead of tvua, it's kitnis. Kitnis might ruin the land. The beans might ruin the land. But we live in Bavel. Bavel is in, it's Iraq. Iraq is between the two rivers, the Euphrates and the Tigris. It's basically a swampland. And since it's a swampland, we're not worried about the land being ruined. So if you were to lease land in Iraq, even if you had promised to use a crop that's softer, tzvua, you would be able to use a crop that is harsher. You could use kitnis, because the land won't get ruined. That's an agricultural lesson. The agriculture in Bavel, in Iraq, you can be less sensitive with it than the agriculture in Eretz Yisrael. And now four agricultural lessons. Amar le, Rav Yehuda le Ravin bar Rav Nachman. Rav Yehuda said to Ravin bar Rav Nachman, lesson number one, Ravin, my brother, Ravin Achi, hanitachli de bekitna, the cress, I believe, right? The cress that's growing amongst the flax. Ein ben mishum gazel, for someone else to come and to pick them would not be theft. Because cress causes so much damage to flax, it's worth more for the owner of the flax that the cress be gone. He doesn't mind that it's gone because it's saving his flax. So you can go and pick the cress. However, omdos al givolin, if the cress is on the borders of the flax field, so it's actually not near the flax, so it's not damaging the flax, then yesh b'mishum gezel. So then you're not allowed to go pick the cress because it's stealing from the owner of the field. He can take it himself. It's not causing him damage. And if the flax has already grown so much that it's become hardened seeds, even the cress amongst all the flax plants would be theft. My time, a why? Again, an agricultural lesson. My da'afsid, afsid. Whatever damage the cress is going to cause, it already caused. The flax has grown fully. So to now take out the cress is theft. All right, lesson number two. Amar le Rav Yehuda le Ravin bar Rav Nachman. Rav Yehuda said to Ravin, the son of Rav Nachman, Ravin achi, Ravin, my brother. Hani di li di lach, some of my trees are really yours. Udi lach, and some of your trees, di li, are mine. Why? Because Nahog b'nei Mitzra, this is the practice of people who are neighbors to each other. Ilan odoto lekan, lekan, that even though it's my tree and I planted it on my side of the field, since all the roots grew into your field and they're drawing nourishment from your field, so the nourishment of this tree is coming from your field, all the fruits of the tree belong to you. And lekan, lekan, And your trees that are growing into my field, so the nourishment is coming from my field, so all the fruits belong to me. The Itmar, as we learned, Ilan Omer El Ameitzar, a tree that is standing on the border. Amar Rav, Rav said, Anot Lekan Lekan, whatever is turned towards this side belongs to this side. Anot Lekan Lekan, whatever is turned to this side, wherever the roots are growing from on that side belongs to that side. Ushmuel Amar Cholkin, but Shmuel said, we divide it. So Meisfei, I'll challenge you. We learned in a Braisa, Ilan Omen El Ameitzar, a tree that's on a border, Yachloku, you divide the fruits between the two fields. So you have to do Rav. So that seems to be against Rav and against what Rav Yehuda told Ravin. So the Gemara answers, Ilan Omeid, Tirgama Shmuel, Aliba de Rav. Shmuel explained that that Braisa is not necessarily against Rav. But according to Rav, the case of that Braisa is B'mamali Kol Ameitzar Kulo, where the roots of the tree fill the entire border. In other words, the roots are on both fields. There are roots in Reuven's field and roots in Shimon's field, or roots in Rav Yehuda's field and roots in Ravin's field. And that's why Rav Yehuda and Ravin divide the fruit, because the fruit is getting nourishment from both fields. So what's the chiddush? Of course, if the tree is getting nourishment from both fields should be splitting the fruit. The answer is the Tali Tune Lachad Gisa, the roots are in both fields. But the branches and the fruits are actually all leaning into one field. So the Gemara says, Vakati Maila Memras. Even that one's the Chiddush. Of course you divide it. We care about the roots, we don't care about the branches. So Maldithem would have thought to say like this: if the roots are split between the two fields, Damale Plog Hachi, the guy over here on the right who has all the branches on his side could say, listen, we're going to divide the field. I'll get all the branches, you get the trunk. So, Kamashman, that's the Chiddush. Darmalei says, listen, I know we have to divide it because there are roots in my field and roots in your field. But my chazis to plug tachi. You're not entitled to say, let's divide it this way where you get all the fruits and I get the wood. Plug tachi, maybe divide it the other way. We'll draw the line instead of east to west, north to south. So we'll divide it in the middle. And that's what we do. Each one gets half. All right, that was lesson number two. So lesson number, I guess the first lesson from Rav Yehuda was that Iraq is a place of lots of swamps, so we don't have to have the law of the Mishnah that whatever the deal was, you can't do, the tenant can't change it to something worse. That's only true in the land of Israel, it's not true in Iraq. The second lesson of Rav Yehuda was that the tree, even though it began as my tree and it started in my field, if the roots are growing into your field and all the nourishment is from your field, you're the one who owns the fruits of the tree, and if it's in both and it's divided. Now lesson number three, Amalei Rav Yehuda L'Ravin Bar Rav Nachman, Ravin Achi, Rav Yehuda said to Ravin, the son of Rav Nachman, Ravin, my brother, Lo Taz Ben Arad Esmichta L'Masa, don't buy a field that's next to a city, don't make a business in a public place. Why? Ayin Ara, because the people of the city will come, they'll look and see what's going on in your field, and they're going to be jealous, they'll be vindictive, they'll, you know, say, God, this guy doesn't deserve all these brachos, and then things will go wrong. A person's not allowed to stand on his friend's field when the friend's field is filled with all of its stalks, because he causes ayin hara, he causes a punishment. Aini, is that so? We know that Rav Abba met the students of Rav. Amar Luhu, Rav Abba asked them, Ayam Rav Bani Kroi, how did Rav explain the verses in Parshat Pichu Kotai about what the blessings are? Baruch Atah Ba'ir, you'll be blessed in the city if you keep the Torah. Baruch Atah Ba'sadeh, you'll be blessed in the field. Baruch Atah Bevoecha, you're blessed in your coming. Baruch Atah Betzeisecha, you're blessed in your exit. V'amrulei, and they explained, Achi Amar Rav, this is what Rav said. Baruch Atah Ba'ir, blessed are you in the city, Rav fields means. She'ebeischa samach lebeis hakneses. You're blessed in the city if your house is next to a shul. So you don't have to walk very far to the shul. Baruch atah basada, you're blessed in a field. She'ein chasecha krovim la'ir, that your fields are close to the city. So you don't have to walk far to work. Baruch atah b'voecha, blessed are you in your entry. Shelo timtz ishtecha, safik nida b'shas b'yaschem in aderech, that you don't come home after a long trip and find your wife as a possible nida. Because here you were expecting to have intimacy with her, and now she's a possible nida that you can't. That would be a curse. So you're blessed if you come in and she's not a nida. Baruch atah b'tzeisecha, blessed are you in your exit. She ate tzei atzei me'echa kemoscha, that your children should be like you. As good as you are, they'll be good. That's what Rav said. Rabbi Yochanan disagreed. Rabbi Yochanan amar luhu, and they said, he then said to them, Rabbi Yochanan lo amar achi. Rabbi Yochanan didn't explain it this way. Rabbi Yochanan said, it's not a good thing to have a shul next to you. You'd rather have a bathroom next to you. El baruch ataba yir, blessed are you in the city. The bathroom should be next to your table. Remember, in those days, they didn't have bathrooms indoors. The bathrooms were outdoors. They said, better to have a bathroom outdoors, close to you. So that way, before you eat, you can go to the bathroom and make sure to relieve yourself, because it's not healthy to eat and have, you know, a log of stuff still in you that has to get out. It's not good for the intestines and stuff. So the best is to have a bathroom nearby. And then the second thing, but a shul, you don't want to have a shul nearby, as the poskim explained, because as we'll see, Rabbi Yochanan says, it's a mitzvah to walk to shul. So the further away shul is, the better it is, the more you have the reward of walking to shul.
I have to move my house, Rabbi.
No, chas v'shalom.
Closer to the bathroom.
Closer to the bottle. Closer to the bottle. Avo slow, but you don't want to have a shul so close to you. That's Rabbi Yochanan Tamei, that's Rabbi Yochanan following what he taught us in the Masechet Sota. He says you get reward for the more steps you take to shul. Baruch Atah Basad, what does it mean, blessed are you in the field? Not that the field should be near you, but rather that your field should be divided into thirds. Shlish b'tvua, a third of your assets are wheat. Shlish b'zesim, a third olives. And shlish b'kfanim, a third grapes. That way, if one of the things doesn't come out so good this year, it's okay. You have other things to make it up. Diversify. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask you. Why are they blessing you? Why should you be blessed if you divide into these thirds?
So that it's diverse. So that way...
Your answer is more of an economical thing.
Yeah,
than a blessing.
That is the blessing. The blessing is that you're economically safe. That even if something comes to get rid of the grapes, you're still good with the wheat.
I don't understand the blessing.
It's portfolio diversification.
Exactly, portfolio diversification. The sages were big believers in diversification. Baruch atah bevoecha, blessed are you when you come. Baruch atah betzeisecha, blessed are you when you leave. Not that you are blessed when you come home from a trip and blessed when you leave that your children are like you, but rather, blessed should you be, shtei yitziyascha min ha'olam, ki biyascha la'olam, that your exit of this world should be like you came into the world. Ma biyascha la'olam b'lochet, just like you came to the world with no sin. Af yitziyascha b'lochet, you're blessed if you leave the world with no sin. So we have here a contradiction. Contradiction in the views of Rav. So one time Rav said, don't have a field next to a city, because if your field is next to the city, you don't have ayin hara. And yet here Rav says, what does it mean to be blessed in the city? Blessed in the field? Blessed in the field is that your field is near your city. So Gemara says, lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. You're blessed in the field if your field is near you. If the field is surrounded with a big wall, but if your field doesn't have a wall around it so people can see it, then it's not a good thing to have a field near the city, because lots of people are going to go out to see it. And if there's no wall of slats or no wall of stones, then people are going to see and they're going to have ayin hara, and then you're going to have, unfortunately, reversals and setbacks.
That doesn't make any sense that the wall protects ayin hara.
That's what we learn here, because people don't see.
Why?
Yeah, because
people
don't see.
If you build a wall, people don't see.
If you build a wall, people don't see. Exactly. A big, beautiful wall. This is the Trump wall, Trump Gemara. He wants a wall.
Can it make no sense?
If you have a big Mexico state, though.
No, because they can't see it. They can't see it. So now we have a whole Gemara about Ayin Hara. The verse says that one of the blessings is Ve'esir Hashem Mimcha Kol Choli, and God will remove from you all illnesses. What is all illnesses? Amar Rav. Rav said Zu Ayin. He'll remove from you the damage caused by Ayin Hara. Rav Latame, this is Rav according to his logic. To Rav Selak Lebe Kivri, Rav had an ability to apparently communicate with the dead. He used to walk into cemeteries. Avad Ma'adavad, he would communicate with the dead. He'd say these different chants and hear from the spirits what's going on. So in the cemetery, Beit Kivri, he walked from grave to grave. And Amar, he walked out, he came out with the following conclusion. Tishin v'tisha b'ayin ra. 99 of the people here died with ayin hara. The echa b'derech eretz. One died because it was his time. One died because he lived out his life. The other 99 died for ayin hara. So therefore, Rav said, if the pasuk says God will remove from you all illnesses, that means God removes from you ayin hara. So now we're going to have a whole bunch of opinions. What causes death? Rav says that what causes death for most people is ayin hara. Shmuel Amar Shmuel said what causes death for most people is haruach, is wind. So the pasuk is saying Hashem will remove from you being damaged by wind. Different, you know, the changes of climate according to Shmuel are what's most difficult for people. Shmuel, this is Shmuel the Shitaso. It's Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, "Hakol beruach." All people are getting damaged because of the wind. Shmuel, according to Shmuel, "Hikaru gan malchus." What about the people who are killed because of the government? They're killed because of the police. They're killed because of the soldiers. They're killed in wars. So the Gemara says, "Hanach nami." These people too. He loves zika avdlu sama v'chayif. Not for the wind causing them health concerns. We could have given them potions, and they would have survived the wounds that they get by the swords and the spears. All right. Opinion number three. Rav Chanina, what does it mean that God will remove from you all illness? Zotzina, not wind, but cold wind. I'm Rav Chanina, because Rav Chanina used to say, "Hakol bidei shemayim." Everything is in the hands of heaven, chutz mitzanim u'pachim, except for getting a cold and getting sick because of a cold. Shneim, as the verse says, "Tzanim u'pachim b'derech yikesh." It is colds and chills on the crooked path. Shomer nafsha, one who protects his soul, yirchak miham, should avoid those things. Opinion number four: what causes death? So one was ayin hara, two was wind, three was cold wind. And now the fourth opinion, Rabbi Yosef Chanina Amar Zutsoa, it's mucus. So Amar, as we've said, Tsoas Chotem, the mucus of the nostrils, with Tsoas Ozen, and the mucus of the ear, Ruben Kashif, too much of them, it's very bad for the health, Umiutan Yaf, if you don't have a lot of it, it's good. Fifth opinion, Rabbi Lazar said, Zumara, Mara I think is bile, right?
Gallbladder.
Okay, the bile from the gallbladder. Tanya Am Yach, let's learn to the Brice like this. Machala Zumara. Machala is a reference to the bile of the gallbladder. Lama nikushma machala. Why is it called machala? She machala kogufa shal adam. The bile can make the entire body of a person ill. Davar ach, another explanation. Machala. The word machala in Gematria is 83. Sheshmonim ushlosha chaloim tluyim b'mar. There are 83 illnesses that are a function of the gallbladder. Now, health. Kulan, all of the illnesses of the gallbladder, we learned this back in Maseches Gittin too, the best thing is breakfast. Pas shachris, some good fresh bread in the morning, b'melach and a little bit of salt, b'keton shalmayim, and a ketone of water, mevat lasan, heals you from all the problems of gallbladder. Most important meal is to have a little bit of breakfast. Tana Rabbana learned in a braisa, yud gimel dvarim nemru pas shachris. There are 13 great things that you get through good breakfast. Matzels menacham, it'll save you from being overheated in the summer, umenatzina, and from getting chills during the winter. Umenazikin, it'll save you from wind. Umenamazikin, it'll save you from evil spirits. Umachkimas pesi, it makes the fool wise, because since he's in a good mood, because he ate, he can understand things. Vizocha b'din, and then if he has a court case, he'll make good arguments, and he'll win his court case, because of the breakfast. He'll succeed lilmo Torah, to understand Torah, ulalamin, and to teach Torah. Udvarav nishmait, and when he makes an argument, he will succeed in the argument. People will accept his point of view because he'll make good arguments because he's in a good mood because he ate breakfast. V'talmud ha-miskayim b'yado. And when he studies and reviews, he'll remember what he reviewed because he's in a good mood when he learned. V'ein b'sar ha-mal ha-hevel. And his flesh will not produce a bad odor, a bad vapor. V'nizkak li'ishto. And when he eats a good breakfast, he'll be in a good mood. He'll have relations with his wife first thing in the morning. V'ein ha-misav li'isha acheres. When he goes up to work and he sees other women, he won't have desires for them. And a good breakfast kills the mosquitoes that are in the intestines. Others say, what? I guess when it's still dark outside, or a Talmud Chacham. When a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham can have relations during the day.
If the
curtains are closed.
Put the wall.
The wall. V'yesh omim, and some say, af motzias hakina, it removes jealousy, umachnesis ahava, and it makes love. All right. Another lesson about breakfast. Amalei Rabba, l'Rava bar Mari. Rabba said to Rava, the son of Mari, Mina Milsi Dami Inchi, what's the source of this thing that people say? Shitin Mihiti Rohut, 60 runners can be running. Velo Matu de Gavra de Mitzafra Karach, and they can't reach a man who had some bread in the morning. Am Rabban and Rabban say, Hashkein Bechol Bakayitz, wake up early, eat in the morning, in the summer, Mipnei Acham, it'll save you from heat. Ubachoref, and eat early in the winter, Mipnei Atzein, it'll save you from chills. Amalei said the Chsib, because the Pasuk says, Lo Yiravu, they won't be hungry, Lo Yitzmo, they won't be thirsty. The lo yakim, and as a result, they will not be smitten with sharav, vishamash, with the sun, or with the cold. Lo yakim sharav vishamash came to lo yirav lo yitzmo. They won't be smitten with sun and cold because they are not hungry and they're not thirsty. Amaliat amali mehasam. You told it to me from this source. Ani amina lach mehacha. I'm telling it to you from the following source. The pasuk says, "Avadetem as Hashem elokeichem. Serve God, your Lord." And he will then bless your bread and your water. Serve God your Lord. That means say Shema with intention, accept the yoke of heaven and pray. Say Shmona Esrei. He'll bless your bread and your water. That means have a little bit of bread and a little bit of water in the morning. After that, I'll remove illness from your midst. Rav Yehuda said to Rav Adam Mishucha, lo tezalzel b'mish, he was a land assessor. So he told him, lo tezalzel b'mishchasa, don't be, not so careful with your assessment and the measurements of the land. Tachal porta porta, because any little bit of land, chazi l'kur karma rishka. If you give a little bit of land to somebody else, so then the rightful owner is not going to be able to plant in that little clod of earth a thing of saffron. The bushel of saffron, which is a small plant, but very expensive. Rav Yehuda said to Rav Ada, the land assessor, when you have land, so in the river, they keep the sides of the river empty so that that you don't plant anything in the 6 feet next to the river, so that the edges of the river not collapse. So Dalet Amos Da Nigra, the four Amos, the 6 feet next to the irrigation canal, Zilzelbu, there you shouldn't be so precise. Make it a little bit bigger. But the 6 feet, Danhara, the 6 feet by the river itself, the big river, Lotum Shirchinu Klal, don't even measure it at all. Just by an assessment, say what it is. Because Rav Yehuda Letameh, this is the view of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, Arba Amos Danigri, the four Amos next to, the 6 feet next to the irrigation canal, Livnea Nigra, they belong to all the fields along that canal. So there they can say we're Mochel. But Danhara, but of the river, the Kuliyama belongs to everyone. So you have to be even more careful that nothing there causes a collapse. So make it even bigger than the four Amos, because you're just doing it by an assessment. Machas Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami used to make a rule. He said like this, Malo katfi nagdi, the size of the shoulders of the rowers, betray abri naharo kutsu. You can cut off the two sides of a river. In other words, if there are forests on the sides of the river, so the rowers who are bringing the boats down the river, when they're pulling the strings of the sails and they have to lean out of the boat, if there's forest there, they're going to knock into the trees. So you can cut down some of those trees. The same way we just said, you keep the sides of a irrigation canal free of plants, and you keep the sides of a river, even more of the sides of the river, free of plants, so that the sides not collapse. You also cut down the branches next to a river to enable the boats to get through unhindered. So Rav Nasan Bar Hoshia cut Shitzer Amsa. He once cut down 16 Amos worth of trees. Also, Leib B'nei Mashunya. So the owners of these trees, the people of Mashunya, came with complaints. Tafnu, and they beat him up. So who suffered? He thought, Kirisho Sarab, I was cutting down to be as big as a public domain. Velohi, it's not true. Hasam B'inan Kulihai. In a public domain, you need a lot of space. Hacham Yishum Amtuchi Ashlinuhu. Here it's because of pulling of the ropes. And therefore, you don't need so much space. It's enough to have enough for the shoulders of the rowers when they come out of the boat and they're pulling the rope a little bit. But you don't need to have enough space for 16 amos. Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, Abba, he had a forest, Aguda de Nahara, on the edge of a river. Amrule Nikutz, they said, we want to cut it down to help the boats get through. So, Nikutzmar. Amaluhusi, he said, you know what? Kutsu iloi v'tatoi v'adu nikutsana. You first cut the stuff that's on top of me and the stuff that's below me, then I'll cut my forest. The Gemara says, how could he do that? Doesn't the pasuk say, correct yourselves, then correct others? Amar Shlakish k'shot atzmacha, first correct yourself. V'yachakach k'shot achem, then correct others. How could he say, first they should cut, then I'll cut? If his stuff should come down, he should first cut himself, his stuff, and then their stuff will cut. So the Gemara explains what he was saying was like this. Hasam there, Abu Dabe Parzak Rufila Hava. You're saying that the other forests belong to this Persian guy, a Parzak. Yeah. He said, listen, Ikaitsu Kaitsana. If they cut, I'll cut. In other words, they're not cutting. So you don't gain by just my stuff being cut. Their stuff's not going to be cut. You can't go down with the boats on this side of the river. You have to be on the other side anyway. So I'm going to leave my stuff off. Ilo Kaitsu. If they're not cutting, am I ikuts? Why should I cut? Dimam Tichilu Ashlayu Mistagi Luhu. Because if they don't cut their stuff, you're not going to be able to go on this side of the river anyway. So therefore, I'm not cutting my trees.